Live from the Hot Stove Lounge, the Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Saturday night. The home opener goes to Calgary. 5-3, your final score, Flames over the Philadelphia Flyers. And let's kick it off. It's Pat Steinberg along with you. And let's head downstairs and let's head actually over to the Flames dressing room. Brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. And we go to the Flames locker room and we check in with forward Martin Pospisil after this 5-3 victory over the Philadelphia Flyers. Martin, appreciate the time. What did you make of this one tonight? How did you like your team's effort in a 5-3 win?
Yeah, I think it was a great team effort. You know, each line was, I think, was really good. And, in third period, we scored in the key moments. So, yeah, I think it was a great team effort.
What about your line mate, Jonathan Huberdeau? 2 goals, 4 points. He had a goal in the game Wednesday in Vancouver. How do you like the way Jonathan has started his season?
Yeah, I think he's playing really good, and I'm really happy and that I can play with him and Manta. So I think we just have to keep playing, and I'm really, really happy for Hubie.
Martin, a really good third period from your group. What did you like about the third period as you closed out the Flyers?
Just we stick with our plan, and we still didn't take a foot from the gas, and I think we were even better than the first two periods, and you know, all of a sudden we had some chances, and then we scored.
You mentioned you really like playing with Jonathan and Mantha. What's been the best part so far for you? What have you liked the most about playing with those two guys?
You know, they have a lot of experience in this league, and I'm really happy, and they try to talk to me, and every time when we are before the face of our what we're gonna do, and I don't want to exactly say what we're talking about, but
yeah.
They have lots of experience, and it's fun to play with them.
Final thought for you, Martin. What's gonna be key tomorrow in Edmonton to make it 3-for-3 to start the season?
You know, we have to bring the same energy as we did today, and we have to play all 60 minutes, and we have to stick with our plan and play hard and be the team that it's hard to play against.
Martin, thanks for doing this. Hey, good luck tomorrow in Edmonton.
Thank you.
That is Martin Pospisil post-game following a 6-3 win over the Philadelphia Flyers. I shortchanged him off the top. 6-3 your final score, not 5-3. Martin Pospisil joins us from the Flames dressing room. Brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Flames Talk postgame is underway. It's Pat Steinberg alongside Matty Rose and Derek Wills. Megan Mickelson not with us for tonight's postgame show and tonight's broadcast, but will be back with us very, very soon. Thoughts, prayers, and all the good vibes going to Megan. Megan, the family, the Mickelson Reeds, everybody. Hope everybody is doing okay. I know it's been a tough time. Hey, that was a fun one. The Flames close it down in the third period, and they come away with their second win of the season, 2-for-2. Pat Steinberg, Matty Rose, and Derek Wills around the table. And, Matty, that third period was the most impressive, but the Flames, that's back-to-back 6-goal outings. They score 6 in Vancouver, and they score 6 tonight here against the Philadelphia Flyers.
It's interesting, right? You looked at this team going into the season, and like it has been for a lot of years, I don't know if anyone looked at this and said, man, there's like a superstar offensive player. But when you kind of looked at the way the top 9 shook out, especially when Sharon Govich was a part of it, you kind of like the depth of the team and felt like, you know, any night one of these groups could fire off a goal or a couple of goals and get you into this position to score 6 goals in back-to-back games out of the gates. Unexpected, but at the same time, when you kind of look at the depth and all the veterans are on this team, Those are the guys that are contributing right now. So that's been really big for them.
Well, and Derek, our marquee matchup tonight brought to you by Country Hills Toyota was building on the Vancouver game. And in some ways they did. And definitely on the offensive side of things, they built on that win in Vancouver.
And you might argue they have built on a preseason where they scored a lot of goals and won a lot of games. And we talked about it. You know, the preseason can be meaningless. If you have a good preseason and don't carry that over to the regular season, you can flush it right down the toilet. But if you maybe build some belief and gain some confidence by scoring goals and winning games in the preseason and then do that again in the regular season, then I think there can be a correlation between the two. But, yeah, I mean, 6 goals on Wednesday, 6 goals again today, and 2-0 start. Pretty darn impressive.
Yep, nice way to build on Wednesday's game. That was our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clear-out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until March 2025. Steinberg, Derek, Matty around the table. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And now Flames assistant coach Cale McLean with us as well here on the Hot Stove Lounge. Cale, what'd you make of this one tonight from your group?
Well, we got the result we wanted for sure. I think we did some good things. I also think that, you know, there's moments in this game where we were behind the eight ball a little bit in terms of, you know, just having control of the play. I thought Philly did a good job at moments, especially earlier in the game. But I did like our resilience in terms of finding a way to get it done. I thought we got better as the game wore on. And so there were some definite positives, but we're always really happy to get a win at home.
One of the things that kind of happened late in the second period, you start to get a little bit of momentum, start to have some offensive zone time, but then that goal late in the frame for Philadelphia. But you come out in the third, and you have a really good third period and shut the game down, essentially. Did you like how your team kind of bounced back after that late goal in the second? Because sometimes that can really change momentum for a team.
I totally agree. And, you know, when you look at it's not far from our mind what happened, you know, last game against Vancouver, and all of a sudden you feel someone else closing the gap on you. Now you've got to regroup in the dressing room. You got to come out and play the right way. And I thought we did a good job of that for sure. So the guys deserve credit for making sure we stayed, right in terms of how we were approaching the game. And things started to break for us. And as a result, we had a little breathing room at the end when we did give something up. But certainly credit to the guys for being able to, you know, get onto our game and despite that goal, be able to keep pushing forward.
Jonathan Huberdeau's first 2 seasons in Calgary were tough. He set a really high bar with 115 points in his final season with the Panthers. And it was more of a struggle for him in his first couple of seasons with the Flames. In the preseason, we saw him on the penalty kill, and I wondered if that was something that would carry over to the regular season. It has, and he's playing in all situations, and he's off to a great start with 3 goals and 5 points in his first 2 games. What are you seeing from number 10 right now?
I think a good point, penalty kill time, that's an extra ice. That's sometimes parts of the game where, as an offensive player, you can go a little stagnant if you're not on, if there's a few in a row. But the thing that I really see from him offensively is one thing I notice is that he's going to the net. He's going to the net well, and he's finding goals in that area. 2 of his goals come to mind in terms of going to the net in Vancouver. Loose puck was in the crease, and Jonathan Huberdeau was standing in the blue paint when he was able to get a stick on that. Today, going to the net, sort of driving by the net front right on the top of the blue crease, it hits him, goes in. I think good things happen to players in general when you go to the net. And Jonathan is a guy who I've noticed on video over and over in games 1. And I think again in game 2 where he's like trying to beat his guy out of the corner and get to the net front, be where the puck's going to come to. And now hopefully from here, what you're seeing in the 4-point night is that, and now he's starting to feel it. Mm-hmm. And that's a great thing for us.
Cale McLean's with us, Flames assistant coach. You know, you score the big power play goal in Vancouver to tie the game from McKenzie. You score the 2 power play goals tonight, Uyghur, and then the big one from Kadri on the 5-on-3. What, you don't have a big part of your power play in Sharon Govich right now, and yet 3 goals in the first 2 games on the man advantage. What are you seeing on the unit that you're in charge of?
I'm seeing, you know, some good individual plays in terms of the Uyghur shots. I think that credit goes to him for just being able to place a couple of pucks. But I did like how we sort of built up today in terms of, you know, we were starting to get a little more dynamic with our play, calm down a bit in terms of making the first play on entry, because we had trouble with that against Vancouver. We scored our goal because we won a faceoff in Vancouver, and we had a little trouble in terms of our setup in the O-zone. But today, I thought as the game wore on, we got a bit better with our O-zone setup. Uyghur made a nice play up top, calmed the game down. The backline unit made a few plays to calm the game down, then be able to get Rasmus bombing away with some shots. So I thought that as the game went better, we did a better job of making those plays. And then, you know, I think the guys now are feeling it a little bit. That 5-on-3 goal was a result of guys just settling in and making their plays, right? Whether it's Cads in the bumper or whether it's the guys dropping under the goal line. So I think overall happy with where we're at, but certainly not satisfied. We've had some moments that have been good, and we've had a few that have been not good at all. So we got to make sure we keep going the right direction.
Do you like the momentum that your fourth line is building you right now? I know you switched something. Kirkland kind of comes into the fourth line, but they didn't skip a beat. And have an impact every time they step on the ice.
Yeah, 100%. We said that today. Brad Larson and I were just talking about how, you know, midway through the game, we looked at each other, and we're just sort of like, this line does it every shift. Like, they put the puck all the way under the goal line, and they go and crash and bang, and they get chances as a result. It's a simple recipe, but they're really consistent in doing so. And it's been games now where they've done it through exhibition, and they did it in Vancouver, and they did it again tonight. So credit to Justin for stepping in and being physical and being simple with the puck. But the Lomberg speed, the Clapper and Lomberg getting on the bodies, I think it's really effective for us. And it's great to have an identity like that. It helps your whole team.
I know that you want to continue to build the team game, and I'm guessing the Oilers are going to be pretty grumpy tomorrow night after a 6-0 loss to the Jets in their home opener and then a 5-2 loss to the Blackhawks in their second home game of the season. So what areas do you want to see your team take another step as you get set for your first battle of the Battle of Alberta this season tomorrow?
Well, I think, you know, we have to get better at making sure we're on top of the play. We gave up a little bit tonight by being caught, you know, below the play. Philly is a good team at that. They'll take off as soon as they see their possession, then they're gone. And if you're not on your toes and aware before that happens, it's too late. So with Edmonton, there's a couple guys in particular that when the puck turns over, if you're not above them, it's too late. Or if you're not well above them in some cases, I think. But, we, you know, making sure that we're dialed there. Like, we, you know, we cannot give up odd man rushes. And then on the other side of it is, like, the compete at the puck. Making sure if we want to be successful in Edmonton tomorrow, our compete at the puck has to match a team that's 0-2, that's been, you know, pumped in one game. And I got to look at tonight. But we certainly have to make sure that we're ready for a team that's angry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6 goals in each of your first 2 games. I know that that's not going to happen every night, but just to get, you know, you talked about Huberdeau and just overall to get some, now it's not the preseason anymore, to get some regular season goals going in, what can that do to build some confidence?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, there's a lot of guys that are on the board. Confidence is being built, and I think one thing that it builds confidence in is the idea that when we get above the puck, we come downhill and we attack downhill. And that's something that you're seeing on some of these goals. So it's confidence in the sense that it sort of renews your faith in how we're defending and being above it, and then what we're getting as a result. And when a team starts to buy into that concept and sees the fruits of that labor, then you're going to put yourself in good positions and might not score 6 every night, but you give yourself a chance to score without giving up. That's a good combo.
Appreciate the time, Kel. Thanks for doing this. Congratulations on the win. Good luck on Sunday night.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
That is Kel McLean, Flames assistant coach, joining us here following a 6-3 Flames win over the Philadelphia Flyers. The home opener goes Calgary's way. Flames are 2-for-2 to start the season, and now they move into Edmonton for round one of the Battle of Alberta on Sunday night. Matty, the floor is yours. No Megan Mickelson, so Megan is not able to be with us. Something happened in the family life, and so we just wish all the best to Mick, and she'll be back with us as soon as humanly possible whenever she's ready. So all the Flames Radio good vibes going to Megan Mickelson. So Wilsey and I off to the provincial capital, and Matty, Logan Gordon, you've got the floor for the rest of the evening. The floor is yours, my friend.
Oh, thank you very much. Very happy to be let's make sure we keep my mic on. Okay, thank you very much. That's final thoughts from our broadcast team. We'll be taking a break. We got some player audio that we got to get to. Jonathan Huberto spoke to the media. Dustin Wolf spoke to the media. Ryan Huska just wrapped up his thoughts as well. So we'll get all of that for you coming out of the break. And Logan Gordon is going to join the show. Plus, we have your calls. Plus, we have your texts, 960-960. I love taking calls. I love chatting with you guys. I got nothing to do tonight, so crack open a drink and let's have a good time. Unless you're driving, of course. Don't do that then. But, hey, we're going to have a lot of fun on the post-game show. It's basically Outlaw Week here, Outlaw Weekend for the post-game shows, so we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to take a break around the corner. Logan Gordon's going to join me, and you're going to hear from a whole bunch of the Flames as we continue. This is your Flames Talk post-game show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Yeah, parents are gone. Kids are taking over. It's a house party tonight on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Welcome to the Flames Talk post-game show. My name is Matty Rose. His name is Logan Gordon. Pat Steinberg is getting on the bird with the boys up to Edmonton so that he can do color tomorrow when the Calgary Flames play the Edmonton Oilers. But tonight, we are breaking down a big win for the Calgary Flames. They take a 6-3 victory over the Philadelphia Flyers in their home opener. Jonathan Huberto had 4 points in the victory. He'll be a big topic of discussion tonight. Dustin Wolf faced almost 40 shots. He will be a big topic of discussion tonight. I am very excited to get to your calls. I'm very excited to get to your texts. But before we do that, we do have a couple of housekeeping items to take care of. For instance, the save of the game. It's brought to you by Shane Holmes. Dustin Wolf tonight was very solid between the pipes. Ends up stopping 37 of 40 shots. Excuse me, I said 39 earlier. Shortchanged the man. They gave him 40 when it was all said and done. 37 of 40 shots stopped tonight. He was very solid between the pipes. Don't know if he really had much of a chance on any of the goals that beat him. The one thing that we can tell you is that his save of the game came in period number 3.
Looking for a shooting lane. Instead, slides it near corner to Tippett. Returns it to Michkov, who walks towards the net and throws it in front. Bouncing puck! And Dustin Wolf whacks it out of harm's way with his goal stick, and the Flames clear it out to center.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, I think that's going to be a lot of fun at the Dome as he's making a lot of stops over the course of the season. The save of the game is brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes the donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. He was great tonight. He was very solid. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Exactly what you wanted from a kid in his first home opener.
Yep.
First full NHL season. There's a lot of pressure going in there, and you got the ceremony, you've got the tribute to Johnny and Matthew to go through. You're sitting around for a bit. Flyers threw a ton of pucks towards his net.
Yeah, especially early on. It was, 20 shots in the first period?
Almost. If it wasn't, it was right close to it. I thought he was rock solid tonight, Matty. There every time they needed him to help keep that lead going.
The Flyers had 31 shots through 40 minutes of play as they really peppered the net, but Dustin Wolf stood high to the challenge at every instance. Text and phone calls in a moment, but before we get there, we do want to hear from the head coach as well, as Ryan Huska has just wrapped up speaking to the media. Let's go ahead and have a listen to the Flames bench boss after his team moved to 2-0.
Maybe just your overall assessment of what you got out of your group today.
Slow start. I thought we were a little bit too much east-west in the first portions of the second period, and then I thought we played much better in the third period. So we got saves from Wolfie earlier on, and, you know, when you're not playing your best, we talk lots about it, and we have for years, that the power play, you'd like it to contribute, and I thought when we weren't at our best, it did that, scored some timely goals for us. After about 5 minutes, I thought he looked in control. Like, when he's not letting out rebounds, things are kind of sticking to him, and he seems like he knows where the puck is. He's tracking it well. Then, you know, he's dialed in. So I thought he looked in control tonight.
There have been some nights over the last couple of years where we've known Jonathan Huberdeau has been, you know, it's been tough for him. Just him having this start, what do you think it means to him as a player?
A lot, because he wants to be a difference maker every night, and it hasn't gone the way he'd like to see it gone over the last couple of years, but he's doing a lot of things, and he did prior years too, well without the puck. Like, he's killing penalties now, and I'm probably more excited about that stuff than the points that he put on the board tonight, because I feel like he's engaged even in the penalty kill, so that's something that's good for us. We need him right now.
You mentioned the penalty kill. I know that there was a power play when you guys are only up by one. I think Hall makes that play at the post to sort of tie up a guy's stick, and you're able to clear it. In a game like this, when the margins for a lot of the game seem so little, how big was that penalty kill for your group?
Big. I mean, that's the difference always in close games. Like, if you can get your power play to score, and if you can, at certain times, of course, have your penalty kill come up with a little bit of momentum for you, that's oftentimes the difference in games. Like, they score that shorthanded goal tonight. That could have gone the other way pretty quickly as well. So special teams oftentimes, and we think it's going to be so important for our team this year, because we feel like we're going to be in a lot of close games, so we're going to need them both to be really good.
Talking about that power play, Andre Kuzmenko seems to have a nose in those situations. What makes him so special?
I think there's a couple goal line players on the power play around the NHL that are really dangerous, where things run through them, and I would put Andre in that category. He's composed with the puck below the goal line. He knows who's open. He knows where pressure's coming from. He's one of the special players around the league on the power play that plays around the net goal line area.
Ryan, it was kind of a work in progress. I know you said with Pospisil in the preseason net center, like, you were still wondering, could he have the impact he needed him to have? And understanding we're still early in the regular season, but what have you kind of seen of him at that position?
I think he's getting there. I do. I mean, there's, like, tonight he didn't play a ton, I don't think. I think he was around 10 minutes. I mean, he missed some because of the fight. I think he's finding out how to play the game as a centerman, where you have to be relied on in all situations without losing who he is, as we've talked about it a lot. So I think he's coming. I think he's learning as he's going, and face-offs are one thing. All that stuff that comes with it, he's in school right now, you can put it, but I think he's doing a pretty good job so far.
See a whole lot more from Hanzek tonight than you did game one?
He was impactful again. Like, he was around the puck a lot. He had some chances. He used his sides and he used his speed. And that's really what we think he brings to the table and helps our team.
Ryan, I know you're probably not going to tell us every detail about how you're going to deploy your goalies, but, I mean, what kind of percentage is just having the hot hand?
Sorry, can you ask that?
In terms of deciding who gets the start, what percentage of your decision is just who's hot?
Yeah, I don't know percentage-wise, but some of it's going to come to play that way, for sure. Some of it's opponent that we're going to be playing, and some of it's schedule as well, based on back-to-backs or 3 and 4 nights, things along those lines.
There you go. That's the head coach. Understandable. This goaltending tandem is such a question mark. Going into the game, actually, kind of an interesting note that we received from Sportsnet Stats going into this game, but the Flyers and the Flames, as far as games played in the NHL, these two teams, extremely low, with Vladar and Wolf on one side, and then Ersin and Fedotov, who we saw tonight for Philadelphia, on the other. But it's going to be a wait-and-see type of deal for the goaltenders as the season does go on. That was the head coach, Ryan Huska. And now it's time to get to the phone lines, get to the text. We have a handful of texts on the line, or a handful of callers on the line, if I'm not mistaken. We do have one open phone line right now, 403-240-4444. We'll also be reading some of your texts in just a little bit here, 960-960. Fire your texts in as well. But let's start here. George is on the phone line. What a pleasure. George, welcome to the show.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing really good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Look, it's two games in, but just I've been highly, highly entertained. I love a lot of what I'm seeing. The youth is being served. They're doing just a great job. I love Adam Klapka. He's been a revelation. I love that we brought Lomberg back, and the veterans really did tonight. I mean, I know it's one game, but that may have been the best game Huberto, to me, has played as a Flame so far. What do you think?
I thought it was certainly up there. He was impactful. Like, this line with Mantha and Pospisil seems to be working so far. I don't know how Pospisil did in the faceoff circle today.
55%, not bad.
55%, that's good for him, who's someone who I will not be shocked if he is well under 50% for kind of the majority of this season, just being a guy who hasn't played a whole lot of center. But Huberto's looked good, looks good on the power play. The biggest thing for me is Huberto's a guy that over the last couple of years has talked about how at times he's lost that confidence in his game. And for him to have 5 points out of the gates, that's all that can do is build the confidence. So you just, for him, it's just about kind of get this thing rolling and just kind of grow it from there.
Well, and he talked about in the locker room, we'll hear from him coming up in a bit, he talked about this was the most confident he felt coming into a Flames training camp from a mental side of things, from a physical side of things. So the last thing you want to do when you feel good about yourself, you feel good about your training camp, is go out there and put up a couple eggs, and then you start getting that Groundhog Day feeling, Maddie, right? Where all of a sudden you're going, okay, it's going to be this again. Like, we're going to go through this whole song and dance again. So for Jonathan to get that good start and realize, hey, I can be that guy. I can be that kind of playmaker that I was not all that long ago. I think that goes a long way, George.
100%. And you know what? It's certainly showing. And the thing I'm actually very impressed with him, which I didn't see in his first 2 years as a Flame, is it looks like he's, I don't want to use the term playing harder because I don't want to diminish the guy tried before, but he's getting to the harder areas. It seems like he's parked in front of the net a whole lot more, which gives him opportunities to actually score goals, because I know he's known as a playmaker. But, you know, the goals that he's gotten so far in these two games, I mean, he's earned those goals, you know?
Yeah, what has he been? Probably a combined 5 feet from the net for every... Like, the Pospisil pass to him tonight's the furthest he's been away.
And he's inside the hash marks.
Yeah, so like, every single time.
That's the thing that Cale MacLean just talked about with us as well, right? When he's hanging around the crease, and when any player is hanging around the crease, good things are going to happen. If you want to be a skilled perimeter player, by all means, but those points are just going to be that much harder to come by.
Well, so. You know what I think about that, too? Where do I think Mantha and Pospisil are going to operate? Probably below the hash mark. So if you want to operate out by the faceoff dots or the blue lines, I don't think that is going to work. I think if you're Jonathan Huberto,
yeah, too far away from your line mates.
Adapt to your surroundings, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and honestly, that's why that line works so well through two games. Again, it's two games. But I think that's why they have such chemistry already, because they're in sync that way, you know, and they're positionally sound.
They've been really solid so far. Anything else tonight, Georgie?
Just one last comment, guys, and I'll let you get on to other callers. The Gaudreau tribute, A+, beautiful, phenomenal. I can't use enough adjectives to express how awesome it was and how awesome everybody. Calgary, obviously, and as a Calgarian, I'm very proud to see the love and support we've shown the Gaudreau family, but just everybody, you know, from Columbus to Philadelphia to New Jersey, the entire NHL. It's something that the family's, you know, never going to get over. But it's so beautiful to see the support and the love they're getting from everyone. And I just want to say, you know, rest in peace to the Gaudreau boys. And they're going to be missed now and forever. And it's just really, really warmed my heart to see that tribute. So good job. Kudos to the organization for a wonderful video and a wonderful job. Thank you for having me on, gentlemen. You're doing a great job. I look forward to listening to the rest of the show, and have a great night.
Thank you, Georgie.
Thanks,
appreciate
Georgie.
It. Yeah, it was a really well done ceremony by the Flames earlier before the game. Not many dry eyes in the building during that one. I would also encourage you to head over to Sportsnet socials. The Gaudreau family recorded a nice video message just for the fans that have supported them through this just heartbreaking tragedy. And just another thing that's certainly worth going and checking out as well is, you know, the Gaudreaus are going to be in our thoughts for a lot of the season. And we'll actually hear Dustin Wolf talk about that a little bit coming up after the next break as well.
Yeah, and I think that kudos probably just extends to everybody in the Flames organization who have handled this thing as well as I think you could have, Matty. You have no, like, you don't plan. Mm-hmm. You don't have a part of the handbook that says this is how you're going to handle this kind of situation. You're kind of flying by the seat of your pants, and you want to do what's right, and you want to do what's, you know, sensitive too to the family and what's best for Meredith and the Gaudreau family. And I really, it's not just because we're on Calgary radio and we do these games. I think the Flames have hit it out of the park at every opportunity when it comes to that, and that includes the fans and the support level and the continued support. Because you're right, this isn't something where next week the pain is gone or anything like that. And I think it'll go a long way to helping them. So
let's continue on the phone lines tonight. Seabass is on the line. Basser, what's up? Basser.
Yeah.
What's up, dude? What do you want to talk about? You're on the Flames Talk postgame show.
Alrighty, yeah. So I was just looking at Dusty Wolf. He made some unbelievable saves to start the game, and it was pretty unreal to see that. He really kept them in the game, really start the game off. So he made some great pad saves and that type of thing. And I mean, if he plays kind of a tandem there with Vladar, maybe he plays 40 games or something like that, could he be in the Vezina race? What do you and Logo and Maddie think about that?
Ooh, Vezina is going to be tough this year. I also think that because you're a tandem, it's going to be tough. I feel like for a lot of the years moving forward, you're going to probably have to get to like 50 starts to win the Vezina. I don't know if it's going to be the old days of like 60, 65 type of thing, but you look around the NHL, Shesterkin's off to a great start. Markstrom's had a kind of up and down start, but I always believe in that guy. There's been some tough starts around the NHL as well. I think the Calder is a little bit more reasonable, where he's competing against guys in his own age class. Like, for instance, tonight outplayed Matvei Michkov, who is the favorite for the Calder Trophy.
Yeah, Vezina. I think Vezina's shooting high when you want to get Dan Vladar as involved as you can in this too. So no disrespect to Dustin, and not saying he's not capable of putting up those kind of numbers. We don't know yet for sure if he can or not. I'm kind of with Maddie, where it's going to be one of those things where your games played are going to pale in comparison to the true number ones that exist in this league. And but yeah, as far as a goaltender and the Calder conversation, you can count me as one of those guys that thinks Dustin Wolf's got every opportunity, if he plays a full season up here, making starts with Dan Vladar, that he could be in that conversation for sure.
Yeah, and I think my next question for you guys before I sign off for the night, Jonathan Huberdeau, he's got, that 5 points in the first two games, and he's looked like he's playing in all situations, power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5. He's getting like 16 to 18 minutes a night. I mean, what do you guys think his ceiling is? Could we see an 80-point year for Huberto? 80 points, is that realistic? What do you guys think?
Well, what? He's only a couple of years removed from a well over 100-point season, so you know that he's got it in the bag. I think if he continues to play at this pace, obviously, 5 points through two games, that's a pace that nobody can keep up. But 80 points, point per game, if he's healthy for the entire season, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, especially given that he's already, given himself three games.
Say 75 and 80 now. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
To get to that point.
He's already given himself three games where he can go without a point and still kind of get to 82 type of deal. So, listen, it's early, and I don't think any of us want to overreact knowing what we've seen over the last couple of years, but you want to enjoy what we're seeing right now and kind of take it in stride. If he gets there, that would be amazing for the Flames,
for
and
sure.
And frankly, probably gets them back into the race, because if he's at 80 points, that means that this team has found, 25 more points from their forward group compared to last year?
Yeah, and I'm with Matt. Seabass, I want to see it for more of the season. It's been a great start. It's been really cool to see. I think the guy works his tail off. I really believe that. I'm still a believer that this guy didn't just forget how to play hockey and how to be a playmaker when he got to Calgary. For whatever reason, it's been haunting him a bit since he got here. But is he capable? Like, is he actually a guy that could get to that? You can't tell me he can't. I think he's absolutely capable of getting there if the season goes his way.
And before I sign off, just so you boys know, my cousin is GVP, so just want to give a shout-out to GVP. So love that guy and love listening to him. So hopefully you guys can razz him a bit. I played a lot of golf with him this summer, and he's a great guy. But, yeah, he's my cousin, boys.
Well, I am a gigantic fan of GVP. Did you see what he tweeted today?
No, I didn't see that.
What was the tweet? Was it? Is Huberto back?
Huberto
in a question
back?
Mark?
Question
so,
mark.
Hey, listen, you guys – it's all in the family. You guys are all believing in Huberto now. Thanks for calling, Bass. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, man.
I didn't really want to call him Seabass every time. I wanted to call him Basser.
Basser.
Like, yeah. If you're going to give me a nickname, I'm just going to totally destroy it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Neil on the phone line. Let's continue. Neil, what's going on, man?
Hello.
Hello, Neil.
Hi, Neil.
Hey.
How are you?
How's it going, guys?
We're great.
I'm good. How are you doing?
We're good.
Yeah. Yeah, so quite a historic night. Like, the both of you, I get to talk to the Matt Rose.
Yeah.
And Logo at the same time. Like, I'm really happy about this, guys. Mm. No, good to talk to both of you.
Thanks for calling
Thank
in,
you.
Man. What did you think of the game tonight?
Like, exciting. And there's lots of storylines going on this year. And there's one thing I've kind of been pounding to Pat all year.
What's that?
Is I think the biggest storyline to me personally is the coach.
Uh-huh.
I really like what Ryan Huska is doing. I think and it's not really that far. You know what's crazy? It's not really that far from what I think Daryl was always doing. Maybe his message and his delivery is different, but
sure.
The structure is similar. It's like a team first mentality. It's a lot of two way forwards and defensemen that are able to move the puck forward or jump into plays. And
well,
I think that's like it works, and it's been showing here with guys that can step up the skill. And I don't give a lot of credit to this guy Kadri. He's actually the only guy that I own a jersey of currently for the Flames. So, but that's the guy I should be talking about tonight, Kadri.
Well, the thing about the coach, like, to me, he's obviously learned a lot when he was on the same staff as Daryl Sutter. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that Daryl Sutter's hockey acumen is not good. That's blatantly false. He's a good coach when it comes to teaching the game and understanding the game. But I just think that, like you mentioned, the delivery, the messaging sometimes can get a little bit old. And Ryan Huska, it's a hard job to come in and kind of have a little bit of a different tone and a little bit of a way that you deliver everything without also being fake, because the players
being
will
Daryl
see
Sutter.
Right through that. Exactly.
Daryl
you have to be
Sutter.
Yourself.
You know what I mean?
You have to be yourself, but you also have to take all the good that you've learned and try and apply that in your own sense. So I'm not overly surprised that Ryan Huska is running a tight ship here. He was a very good AHL coach when he was a head coach there. He was a really good head coach at the WHL level. And rather than kind of going straight from an AHL head coach to an NHL head coach, he was on the bench for some very good head coaches that had a lot of success in the NHL.
And there's a reason he stuck on a number of head coaches.
And there's also a reason that he got this job, right? They interviewed other people.
Sure did.
And he ended up getting the job. So I think it's a good point,
he's
Neil.
Successful on every level, too. It's like you look at Wolf. Yep. This is another correlation here. You look at him. Successful on every level and always moving up and progressive in a way.
Well, and I think the thing with Huska that I look at, Neil, honestly, the last 2 years, this year and last year for Husk here as the head coach, last year, I don't know as a rookie head coach that he gets enough credit for how he handled the locker room and how he handled all the guys that wanted to go out. We've talked a lot about
a difficult situation.
Yeah, how Craig Conroy had to manage that. Try being the guy that has to manage that from a roster perspective, and all of a sudden, hey, we've taken away two of your top three defensemen and your top center, and we'd still like you to stay somewhere in this playoff race if you can, Rye. That'd be great.
That's not easy. Hold on. And now you look at a guy like Kadri, and he's going in there, and he's playing the way he is right now, and it seems like it's team forward, and it's he's buying into what Huska is saying. And, like, it's a veteran guy like that, and then, mm-hmm. like, he's buying into the same thing that Backlund would always, obviously always do. I'm never going to not be a Backlund backer. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like there is a Calgary chemistry slash, like,
he's building a culture.
Yep. Growing. Yep. Growing.
Yep. Totally. 100%, Neil.
And I really appreciate it, and I really like Huska, and I think he's a good coach. And that's kind
he's
of
also
all,
great to talk to. Do.
That, like, that's he's... all I've been calling him and saying all year, but, like, I really mean it. I really like Huska. I think he's a good coach.
We believe you. I believe you. He's good. Like, he's good with the players. He's good with the media in the sense he doesn't kick you in the teeth if you have a question that you feel is fair. And he's very good trying
he
to.
He seems very
before.
Intelligent also.
Yes, yes.
He seems he comes off very intelligent.
Yes, I don't think he just comes off very intelligent. I think he, in fact, is very intelligent. Thanks for the call today, Neil. Appreciate
exactly.
it. Have yourself a great
you.
Night, buddy.
Have a great night, guys.
Thanks very much.
On the Huska thing, and what Neil mentioned about the players, the Backlund and the Kadri thing, it's hard to say outside the locker room, but I think player empowerment and letting those guys lead in the right situations and
when they've
take
been leaders
and you know wear those letters and make them mean something in that locker room. I think that's a low-key, very good job by Ryan Huska.
Let's get to a couple more calls and texts before we take a break here. Sean is on the line. Good evening, Sean. Thanks for calling the Flames Talk postgame show. How are you doing today? Sean.
Hi.
Sean, hi. How are you?
Hi.
What's up, buddy?
Sorry. I was listening, and then it switched over, so I wasn't paying quite as close attention as I should have.
I'll forgive you this time. Don't ever let it happen again.
It's okay.
I'll try to do better.
What can I help
Logo?
You with tonight?
Logo,
what's up, Sean?
You're
How
awesome
you doing?
In the afternoons.
Thank you, buddy.
I'm doing great. But you are great in the afternoons. Maddie?
I appreciate that.
Do you ever wish you had a Hush George button? Just to hush him up, because your morning report is like I rush to my truck every morning so I can listen to the morning report, and I'm like, George, shut up.
Answer that honestly. Answer that honestly.
It's George's birthday in 4 minutes.
So you got 4 minutes.
I don't care
to do what you need to do.
I will say this.
I'm way older than George, and I've been listening to the show for a long, long time. You rock the morning report, brother. And
I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. I rush the truck every time.
We have a lot of fun doing the show. We do have a lot of fun doing the show, and I appreciate that you enjoy the morning report where I actually get a chance to talk and share all of my ideas. But what did you think about the game tonight, Sean?
You know what? I'm optimistic, and these two games have been unreal. Like, it has just been all boys are towing the rope the right direction. That fourth line, Rooney hit, we'll go with that. But the other two are unreal. The other thing I want to mention is the Gaudreau tribute was awesome. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate the fact that Monty and the donkey hat later in the show was unreal.
If you don't know what Sean is talking about, the Columbus Blue Jackets, for their player of the game, they're calling it just the donkey.
Yeah.
And it's like a little donkey kind of hat that they, I don't know if they had it made or if they just found it somewhere, but it's got like a kind of donkey face on it and like a big long donkey tail out of the back. And it has 13 on the side. And the reason behind it is that Johnny Gaudreau used to refer to people as donkeys when they were goofing around, that type of thing. So that's the kind of player of the game, almost memorial kind of trophy that they're giving out in Columbus this year. And yeah, it looked great for Sean Monahan to be the first player to get it. Very fitting as well, especially as the Blue Jackets go out and get a big win against the Colorado Avalanche. Like, that's no cupcake opponent to go and beat. Granted, I think the Avalanche have some real flaws on their roster this year, but at the same time, that was really cool to see. And the Flames did an outstanding job today as well. The kind of light show, showing where he had scored some of his biggest goals as a member of the Flames, was a really great touch.
It was awesome. It was very touching to see. I heard it on the radio, and I came in, and I watched it on TV. It was excellent. And gents, you guys are doing a phenomenal job at doing this show.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it, man. Have yourself a good night. Hey,
thanks, Sean.
Okay, bye, Sean.
That was Sean.
That was Sean. I thought he would at least say goodbye after giving us all those compliments. It kind of makes him feel a little bit hollow, don't you think?
No, I appreciate it.
All right. One more call before we hit our break. Corbin is on the line. Corbin, welcome to the Flames Talk post-game show. I'm Matty Rose. He's Logan Gordon. You're Corbin. What's going on?
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Living the dream, buddy. How are you?
Loving it. Loving it. Hey, I just wanted to echo what everybody's saying. Like, Huberto is looking great. I think I'm a believer now after a few years of doubt. Kadri's looking awesome. Kuzmenko coming in looking good. My only concern, we're two games in. I'm loving it. The boys look like they're having fun. That's my big thing. But come game 52-62, what do we got to add to kind of like shore up this line? This team, you know what I mean?
You're talking about adding like on the deadline, like for the playoffs?
I'm already thinking that far ahead.
Well, here's the thing.
Should the Flames first round pick be in play? Should Craig Conroy shell out a first round pick?
Here's the thing.
Ahead of the deadline.
Where's the
Your
hole?
Your thoughts next.
Where's the hole to fill? No, in all seriousness, I don't think that I think, A, it's way too early. I appreciate where your head is at, Corbin, but I think it's way too early. But the thing is, if the Flames do want to go and let's say this year tails off a little bit, but maybe they are a little bit closer than we think. I would not be surprised if this is a team that adds even a little bit just to try and kind of help them move forward. We know what this team does whenever they're near a playoff spot and they feel like they're close to it, you know, given how this team has operated under this ownership and this entire kind of structure for the last little bit. They have a boatload of cap space, like literally have the third lowest payroll in the entire NHL as of today. So if they wanted to, listen, they've got tons of stuff. They've got a whole bunch of prospects and draft picks and cap space. But at the same time, it has to make sense for the direction of this team. So right now, Corbin, I think enjoy the ride.
That, and I love it. Like, through two games, this is the most fun I've had since, and God rest him, Johnny Gaudreau, since he was back here. It was a great tribute. But this is the most fun I've had watching this team since then. And I love it. It's a lot of fun.
And I don't think that's going anywhere. The guys that I see on this team, it might not be six goals every night. We were saying that after Wednesday, man. But, you know, Lomberg's going to be doing his thing. Kuzmenko, for as long as he's around, is going to be a menace on the power play. Like, I don't think you're going to be bored watching this team over the next 80 games. I really don't.
No, and I love that. And I appreciate you boys. Love it. Thanks for having me out.
Appreciate it, Corbin. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Have a great night, Corbin.
Before we hit our break. The phone lines are open, 403-240-4444. Logo and I will stay here as long as you guys are going to give us a call. A couple of texts here. This is from Tim in Moose Jaw. Hubie is on pace for 205 points this season. Does he get it?
No,
you don't think so?
I'm okay saying okay. No.
This one says 82-0, baby. How about that?
That's still alive.
Okay, yep, there thing. We go. This one from Randy in Lloydminster. Just love the effort and the play so far. I don't care who's in net. The Flames are golden. Work ethic is so much more impressive than previous years. Go get them. By the way, got to beat the Oilers tomorrow. Unfortunately, my girlfriend is an Oilers fan, and I'm annoyed the last few years.
Well, that's unfortunate for you.
Yeah, that's...
You could dump her.
Oh, that feels...
You
extreme.
Could. I'm just saying. It's,
you could.
It's a girlfriend.
I don't know if it's that much of a red flag that we have to... What if they've been together for like a long time? They might be common law. You have no idea.
I'm just saying it's
You're
an option.
You're being kind of reckless.
It's an option.
Dustin in Calgary, watching Hubie these last two games makes me feel like I'm watching the end scene from Space Jam when Jordan gives the guys their talent back. It's like he has his instincts back. Nothing looks forced. He's in the right place at the right time, trusting those instincts. It's helping him be more aggressive on the puck. Love to see it, gents. Have a great night. He's getting to the crease. He's being decisive with the puck when he has it. He's got some line mates that I think fit what he's trying to do. And he's rolling with it right now.
I like that comment about it not being forced.
Yes.
It has felt like that some nights the last 2 years, right? Where the stick's been a little tight. The grip on the stick's been a little tight. And he's trying a pass that you know probably isn't going to happen, but you're going to try it anyways because you're Jonathan Huberdeau, and sometimes they work. There have been nights like that, Matt, right? Where you know the guy is sitting there going, I got 40 points, and I want to be at 90, and I got to go and make something happen. That it's been two games, but I haven't seen much, if any, of that. And that's really good news because apparently that works.
Here's a fantasy question. I have a fantasy waiver claim in for Svechnikov. It won't process until Monday. The drop was going to be Jonathan Huberdeau. Should I cancel the waiver claim and roll with number 10? Oh, boy. I really like Andrei Svechnikov. I don't know why he's on the waiver wire to start. I'd love to be in your league if Andrei Svechnikov is on the waiver
points?
Wire.
Like, is there more?
See, that's
there?
The other thing. That's why I don't like talking about fantasy hockey very much, especially when we're doing like our actual shows, because everyone's rules are different. So it's not necessarily like I need more details. If you're still listening, text me some of your details of your league, and we'll give you a few more thoughts on that. You can text into the show as well, 960-960. We have some phone, some callers still on the line that we do want to get to. We still have some audio that we have to play. I don't know if Pat fits all of this in a show. I'm Matt Rose. He's Logan Gordon. Pat's going to be doing color up in Edmonton, so he's hopping on the charter with Derek as they're up heading up the road. And we're going to be doing this intermissions and postgame tomorrow as well. But I do ask, if you want to keep tuning into the program, stick around. We're going to take a break around the corner. More of your calls, more of your texts, and we're also going to hear from Dustin Wolf of the Calgary Flames. That's as we continue on the Flames Talk postgame show right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back inside the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, deep in the bowels of the Scotiabank Saddle Dome in the Hot Stove Lounge. My name is Matt Rose. He's Logan Gordon. We are continuing on with our post-game show. You're going to get some more calls and some more texts in a little bit. 960-960, that's where you can send your text. Phone lines jammed, 403-240-4444 is the number to call, but they are all filled up right now. We'll get to the calls in a second, and then hopefully some more lines will open. I won't go for a little while longer. How about that? Let's get to some audio. Dustin Wolf made 37 of 40 stops in the victory. He gets his first one of the season. He gets his first home opener. It's a win under his belt. He was very solid. He spoke to the media, but he didn't only talk about the game tonight. He also talked about his mask. If you have not seen his mask, you can check it out on the Flames website, on their social media. But he has a tribute to Johnny Gaudreau on the kind of back plate of his goalie mask, and he also discusses that in this chat with the media. Dustin Wolf following tonight's 6-3 win for the Calgary Flames over the Philadelphia Flyers.
37 saves, if I'm not mistaken. Just a thought on your performance and how you felt about everything out there.
Yeah, I know the team was great. I felt good out there. They threw a lot of rubber on pretty early, so after the long ceremonies, and was able to stay in it, and felt good to get that win.
Do you find that's kind of a trickier thing to go through? I mean, it seems obvious, you have to stand around and wait, but I think the idea that you were able to kind of focus and lock it in, was that a challenge?
I mean, that's the goal, right? When you know there's stuff going on pregame, try to stay locked in as possible, and obviously it was a pretty important pregame for our team and organization, so take that all in, but once the puck drop, get ready to go.
Dustin, what did it mean to you to get the start here for the home opener and contribute the way you did?
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. That's the goal. You want to get in the net, especially the home opener is pretty special, and the team was great from the start, and I think that's kind of the character of our group. We kind of hang in there and find ways to get wins.
We're just talking
to Jonathan about, you know, what some early success can do, and, you know, to the confidence and everything like that. What's the result of that for a goalie, to win night one, to feel good about things? What's that do moving forward?
Yeah, no, if you feel good, and at the end of the day, our position is to help our team win as many hockey games as possible. And, you know, if we're doing our job, you know, we know the guys in front of us are going to do theirs, and they've done a great job of scoring six a night so far, so hopefully we keep that goal per game up. But no, it's awesome when you can have success to start the year.
Dustin, can you just take us through the symbolism of, you know, the back play with Johnny on the back?
Yeah, obviously everyone knows it's just awful. You know, in the summer after it happened, I was able to go out to the memorial for a bit, kind of share my piece, but I was very grateful to be able to share. I mean, I only knew him very little. I was only around him very little, but, you know, being an American, a fellow old teammate, I thought it was really important to honor him and obviously his family and his kids. So, you know what, it's, if I can do that in such minor fashion, I think it goes a long way.
When you got the mask back and actually got to see it for the first, like, is it what you sort of imagined it would be?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of put together a couple ideas, but I and trust my painter with his skills, and you know, it turned out terrific. And you know, it's important for the organization, for our team, and also the guys that got to play with him. So to be able to share that on the ice is pretty special.
Yeah, and tonight was pretty special as well. It was really moving at the start. Everything that the Flames put together with the video showing some of the biggest moments that he had as a member of the Flames, specifically in that building, with the kind of little lights on the ice showing where he was when he had scored those goals, and mentioned it in, earlier in the show, but on Sportsnet, there was a message from the Gaudreau family to Flames fans as they were kind of taking in the game themselves this evening. So just wanted to make sure we get that in there as well, and that tribute on Dustin Wolf's mask is a very, very nice one. You can go and check that out on all the social media and the Flames website too. So that was certainly part of the storyline of tonight, as the Calgary Flames do take a 6-3 win over the Philadelphia Flyers. Dustin Wolf was outstanding. He stopped 37 of 40 shots that he faced, 32 shots in the first 40 minutes. Let's continue down the phone lines. Phone lines jammed. Logan's on the line. You're Logan Gordon.
Yes.
I'm Matt Rose.
Yep.
And on the phone line is Logan.
Oh.
We don't really need to get into a last name, but Logan, welcome to the program.
Oh, hey, guys. Fantastic to talk to you guys. I listen to Maddie every morning. Great to talk to you, Logo. But no, I thought it was a great game. Honestly, not much to complain about. Glad to see Kubi actually have a game where, at the very start of the season, where he does well. And I know it's been really tough for him. I feel like a lot of Flames fans, they sort of have that feeling where, oh, Kubi's not good. And I mean, I've been there too, but hey, I'm really happy to see him have a good start of the season. I think this could be something special for the Flames.
So far it is, right? And no signs of it slowing down. Like, granted, the Flames were underwater at 5-on-5 a little bit earlier on in this game, but at the same time, like, we talked to Mackenzie Weegar at the first intermission, or Steinberg didn't. Weegar was like, yeah, there's a lot of shots, but they were all from the outside. If that's how they want to take their shots, like, we're going to take that all day. That's no problem for us. So I thought that was a factor. But the whole team as a whole, they've been playing well. There's no real holes that you've seen so far. Obviously, health is a big part of that, and this blue line has to continue playing at the level they're at. But so far, so good.
Yeah, and on Huberto specifically, I mean, you can't ask for anything more, right? I think every Flames fan has reason after the last 2 years to be weary of it, and you want to, you know, no one wants to dive 2 feet in and then look silly later in the season if
yeah.
it doesn't happen, and I get that, but you couldn't have asked for a better start. So.
Corbin was looking to spend
Corbin was more than two feet in. That's
earlier
fair.
Caller Corbin was already looking to spend that $20 million that the Flames have in cap space, and we're two games into the season, but yeah, it's been pretty good, Logan.
I mean, and you're not looking for Huberto to have a 115-point season. I mean,
no.
I'd be happy if he gets 80 points. Like, that'd be awesome for him.
But 100%.
At the same
80
time,
points is not what
one
it used
thing
to be.
I did notice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one thing I did notice tonight is, like, the one thing I don't really understand is, like, why are we playing Justin Kirkland over Matt Coronato? And, like, I felt like Kirkland didn't really have a strong game. I feel like you have to – Even if Coronado's playing on that fourth line, I feel like it's a better option.
Well, I would disagree because Matt Coronado doesn't play center. This is a team that is extremely they don't have a lot of center depth right now. So they had very limited options kind of for a call-up in a fourth-line role. I actually quite like Justin Kirkland's game this evening. The other thing that Kirkland and the other thing the Flames ask out of that fourth-line center position is for them to kill penalties. And Kirkland was out on PK1 at certain points of this evening on a penalty kill that only allowed one goal on 8 opportunities for the Flyers. I understand fans' frustration with Matt Coronato not being in the lineup right now, but I vehemently disagree that putting him on the fourth line is a good thing for him. Frankly, I don't want him in the scrums that Adam Klapka and Ryan Lomberg are starting at every shift, because that's what they're going out there to do, and they're being very effective in doing it. So that's kind of how I see it. Now, granted, as soon as there's something that happens in the top 9, whether that is someone kind of falls off a cliff compared to where they're playing now, or if an injury pops up, then I think that you have to look at getting Coronado in the lineup. And if that doesn't happen sooner rather than later, then I think you have to give yourself a think about where the best place for him to be is, just so he can actually play. But I don't know about you, Logan. I just don't think that there's necessarily a spot in the top 9 for him, and I don't want to see Matt Coronato on the fourth line. Logan Gordon is who I was talking to. Sorry.
And to be fair, I mean, that's a fair point. I mean, it sort of sucks for Coronato because I feel like the top 9
Agreed.
Is a very hard spot on the Flames to actually make at this point. And I mean, to
it's
be
only
fair,
two games,
I felt
right?
Like Konzek, and Konzek had a great game, even though he wasn't on the score sheet. I actually thought he played very well tonight. Like, I thought he was driving hard. The forecheck was really good from him. He was winning pucks. But
I thought he got better as the game went on.
It is a hard. And as the game went on, I feel like it is hard for Coronato to make the lineup at this point.
It is going to be hard for him to make the lineup, but it's two games in, and things will happen as they go in. Like, you know, little bangs and bruises. Like, Nazem Kadri had a little bit of a bang and a bruise today, and he scored that empty netter. He took a hard hit from Owen Tippett, right? Like, you never know when something like that pops up and someone just needs one night off, and that allows him to get in the lineup here. And the other thing, too, is this is the first time Hanzek's played pro hockey. Like, there could be a decline there as the season goes on and some opportunities for Coronato, but right now, the fourth line is not a place I want to see him. That fourth line has been really effective, even with Kirkland in today. Cale MacLean loved what they did today when he joined us earlier on in the show. So that's kind of where I sit.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as Matty. I just don't think he's destined for a fourth line here. I don't think this is a situation you're going to see Matt Coronato sitting for 2-3 weeks. Like, when we get to that point, let's fully dive into that conversation. It's two games. They're 2-0. It's worked so far. And for me, Matty, if you're saying, okay, we've got a top 9 spot available in training camp, and it's between Hanzik and Coronato, who won that spot? Hanzik won it. Hanzik had the better camp than Matt Coronato, in my mind. So that's why he started the season on the active roster and has played these two games.
Oh, exactly. And I love to see it. But, hey, you guys have a good night.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling in, Logan.
Yeah.
We'll continue.
Yeah, have a good night, Matty and Logan. Have a good
Logan.
Night.
Logan,
hey, good night,
Matt, Logan.
Logan, okay, bye, Logan. Hang up on that Logan is on, please. It's too confusing. Let's continue on the phone lines. There's nobody else named Matt or Logan on the phone lines as of right now, but apparently we have one more line that's just opened up. How lucky. Wedley joins us, a staple. Hi, friend.
Hello.
Hi, Wedley. What's up,
Oh,
dude?
Gentlemen, how's it going?
Good, and you? What'd you think of tonight?
Oh, I got in the game from the game about half an hour ago. It was quite something, you know. Before the actual play stuff, I always say the Flames do such a great job. Home opener is my favorite game of the year. And everything from their production to the player intros, and I think this was the first time ever they did the red carpet thing. That was really cool.
Yeah, it was the first time, yeah. Got some good visuals. Really... That picture of Ryan Lomberg, my goodness.
Yeah. No, I got there a little late, so I more watched it from afar, but it was really neat to watching these players pull up in, like, Escalades and whatnot and come on down and take photos of the fans. I'm glad they did that kind of stuff. They're trying new things, so I really like that for them. And music's always great in the Dome and all the other stuff that they had, and, of course, the Johnny tribute. So kudos all around whoever organized that. But,
I can tell you, Lorenzo DiCocco is in now, and doing more, chief operating officer.
He's got a big
influence on what they're doing here now, and has been, you know, big on fan experience, what everybody, you know, what it means to come to the Saddle Dome, what it means to use the new scoreboard to full capacity. Like, this is something that the organization's paying maybe more attention to now than they ever have.
Well, I gave up messaging on them because I used to message them saying that the game day experience, because I went to Pittsburgh a couple of years ago, I'm like, this is night and day. Like, that was even a preseason game the first time I went. And, yeah, I get you can't give away free stuff all the time, but it felt like an event, right? Mm-hmm. So, and the Flames used to have nice, good giveaways like that and whatnot, but I find they're getting better again, so... That's good, you know. Yeah, that's part of the whole experience, if you ask me. But
without a doubt, totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thoughts on the game today?
Yeah, I was at the guy. I share season seats with three other guys, so it was this is the game. I always take the home opener. I love it. I want to talk about Huberto. I know it's too game. God, I already had someone arguing with me on Twitter already. It's like, can we not be positive ever, Flame fans? Ever?
You're on the wrong website, Wedley.
I know. I told myself this year I'm staying off Twitter because it's the most miserable of miserable on there. Jonathan Huberto, in case people forgot, that dude used to be like a top guy. I took this guy in my keeper pool when he was a young guy in Florida. And people forget. I know when I switched careers from banking to my current job, it's a change. And has it taken longer? I'm not saying people can't say he hasn't played well. That is fine, but some of the stuff. But anyways, if this is a start of something better or him returning to how he used to be, I'll take it. Honestly, I know it's two games. We'll see how he does tomorrow and the rest of the season. But even in his interviews, he just seems more relaxed and upbeat. Maybe it's finally over or whatever. Like, I don't know him personally. I never talked to him. Maybe he was in a funk. Maybe he missed. Like, it was a shock. I don't think he expected to leave Florida, right? Again, I'm not making excuses for the guy, but he just feels different. And I know it's two games. Ask me again in January and in March and so on. But I'm just happy for him. The guy had 4 points, and I know many fans that have taken that last year and the year before. So I'm hoping some will pump the brakes on the negativity, but... I don't know. You guys tell me. Do you see anything? Do you guys see them in your interview? Do you see anything different with him? Other than they keep saying he's in shape?
I don't think so, Wed. This is a guy that doesn't ride that roller coaster, at least publicly, very much about, you know. I think at times he wears it. I think you've seen it on the ice.
I think he wears it too much sometimes.
Yeah. And for sure. I think it's a guy that holds himself to a very high standard, and he knows he hasn't, he hasn't met it in Calgary, but I think a lot of those people that have been frustrated with Huberto and want to see more of them are the same people that, you know, whether they admit it or not, Wedley, will be extremely excited if and when this version of Jonathan Huberto continues for the Calgary Flames.
Exactly, and that's all I'm asking for. I didn't say, you know, people, I fully understand why people are frustrated with him. That's fine, but we can also give him some credit when we're seeing something positive. But anyways, that's my rant for today. I had a question for you too. What do you guys think of Sam Hanzek so far? I know it's two games, but...
Maddie?
I thought in the first game, he really popped early, and then that hit to Kevin Rooney. I thought all of a sudden he was...
All the special teams.
The special teams became a part of it, but I also think that all of a sudden it was like, oh boy, this is a man's game. Like, this is one of the leaders of our team, and I just saw him almost get stretchered off the ice. I think that's a pretty eye-opening moment. I thought he was relatively quiet after that, but I thought that really kind of took a lot of the wind out of the sails for the Flames as a whole. Tonight, kind of the opposite. I didn't love him early. I really didn't like the penalty that he took early on where – he's just too patient on the boards, allows the defenseman to kind of jump the route, and then he takes a high sticking penalty trying to kind of make up for being slow on his feet. But as the game went on, he got a lot more comfortable. He had a couple of nice opportunities in tight to the net that Fedotov was able to stop. So there's been some good. There's been also some kind of 19-year-old growing pains. I would like to see him kind of not defer as much to the two veterans that he's playing with all the time. But at the same time, I don't blame him when you're going out and you're playing out with a guy like Nazem Kadri, who's won cups and all that type of thing. That can be a hard assignment. So he hasn't necessarily, you know, totally blown me away, but he hasn't been bad. He's just kind of wading into the NHL waters.
Yeah, I would honestly, Wade, I'd say he hasn't looked out of place. That's the best way I can I can tell you. For a 19-year-old where you can absolutely, you know, have the water catch up to you too fast at this level.
Yeah.
And he knew there was going to be a jump, right? We talked about it from the preseason hockey that he played to the first game he got in Wednesday. He was going to have a wake-up because this is the real NHL. And, you know, maybe Vince Dunn lets you do that against Seattle in the preseason, but he's probably going to fight a little bit harder in the regular season to not let you make that move to the net. So he hasn't looked out of place. And for a 19-year-old, I think that's a rousing success.
Fair enough, fair enough. So I've got two quick questions. I'll let you guys get to other callers. So one is fantasy football. Should I play Spencer Rattler over Trevor Lawrence?
Oh, God.
I need a desperate win.
Just no, you're not going to win. Just give up. I would wave the white towel. If you're looking at Spencer Rattler, Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, it is so bad you don't understand.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And he's playing the Bucks too. That's gross.
Yeah, fair enough. No, I think the answer is there. And number two, does my prize exemption apply to the evening as well?
I have nothing to give you, so it's irrelevant.
Oh, there you go. Fair enough. Well, nice job, you guys. It's nice to give Pat a break, and all the best to Megan. I don't know what's going on there. And, yeah, good night, and
Pat.
Enjoy.
Pat's
I hope you guys get Sylvia and Robert.
Yeah. No, I don't think we've got Sylvia and Robert, but
I hope so.
Boy, no. I would be ecstatic. Thank you, Wedley.
Fair
Have
enough.
Yourself a great
Keep
night,
up the great
buddy.
Work
talk to you,
guys.
Wed.
Yeah, take care, guys. Bye.
Got to meet Wedley in person.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. He came into the studio, get his jersey signed by Brent Cron because he actually had a Brent Cron jersey from back when Brent got drafted.
Would that devalue the jersey or add value to the
we
jersey?
We had a hard time coming up with an answer. As we continue on the phone lines, Dylan joins the program. Dylan, you're on the Flames Talk postgame show. What's up, man? Dylan, what's up, man?
What are you guys up to?
Just doing a little postgame show, man. What's up with you?
Right on. Good deal. Is Pat not on today because he's got to get to Edmonton tomorrow, or what's going on? I mean, Pat knows who I am. He knows that I'm the future GM of nothing. So, where's Pat at?
Pat is, on the charter to Edmonton.
Oh, okay. Anyway, that Randy guy from Westminster seems like a pretty good guy.
Sorry to disappoint you, Dylan.
No, you guys are good.
Man?
I like listening to you guys a lot.
Thank you.
It's good to have good radio back in Calgary, really.
Thanks, bro.
It's good to have people analyze the game. You know, you guys are fantastic. I didn't mean to make any shots at you guys. I just know Pat knows who I am. So you guys are my friends. You guys are my new friends now, really. So what's going on? Anyway, Randy from Lloydminster is phenomenal. I mean, that guy's awesome. I'm also from Lloyd. So, I mean, if I could somehow meet Randy, we're good Flame fans. That'd be great. Anyway, I thought Wolf was great tonight. It's good to see that happen. Huberto getting 4 points. That's great. I mean, obviously, guy makes a ton of money. He needs to do that more. And so it's good for him. I mean, good for everything. It's just there's a lot of good things going on right now. We need to be excited. I mean, it's good. It's good. There's a lot of good things happening. Big win tonight. That Flyers team looks good. I don't think they're that far away. They're going to be there eventually. What do you guys think?
I didn't mind the Flyers today. I thought Michkov was relatively underwhelming, given all the hype. But, you know, back-to-back, and he still had some pretty impressive puck plays. That Wolf save where he kind of reached back and scooped the puck off the line with his stick on a pass from Michkov out of the corner to Farabee or Konechny on the far post there was a really nice play. I do like some of the Flyers. I didn't like Jamie Drysdale very much tonight.
No, me neither.
Cam York is kind of been a little bit of a slower kind of growth than I think a lot of people expected. Morgan Frost is coming along, but they're a decent team. I still think they're going to be in tough to make it in the Metro. That's a very good division, and they still got some growing to do. The thing about them, too, they were just ready to fight everybody, right? Like, they were ready to scrap the entire game. Garnet Hathaway had the nasty little slashes the entire game. Scott Laughton.
Him and Raz were at each other after the first. They were not happy.
Scott Laughton's a tough customer. A whole bunch of guys just trying to fight. Like, Farabee tried to fight Blake Coleman. It was Ty Forrester who ended up fighting Martin Pospisil. So
fight was a loose term for he tried to fight him.
He tried to scrap him. But, yeah, overall, I don't mind the Flyers. I don't love the Flyers. There's a lot of other teams to like in that Metropolitan Division.
Well, they're well coached. We all know who they're coached by. That's a big thing.
I really like what Torch has kind of turned into these days, too. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just saying that this evening. I mean, I think Daryl could have been that. Actually, no, Daryl's a lot more hard-ass compared to Torts. But Torts was able to make a transition towards the new kind of coaching, and I think that's made the world of difference. I think that's made a huge difference in his ability to stay in the league and coaching. One more thing. Marty Pospisil, the unicorn. I really like Marty. That guy is a phenomenal player. I mean, in that overtime goal, when he's charging towards the net and he just stops within an inch, that's incredible. I mean, that is just awesome. Either he creams the heck out of Silovos and then, you know, whatever, right? He just creates a lane for Zari. It's awesome. That Marty is really good. I really like watching that Marty. I hope he's a Flame for the rest of time.
Yeah, if Marty Pospisil in this center experiment continues to go well, Just chalk another reason up as to why Flames fans are excited about this guy, because he does not care about throwing the body around two apples tonight. He's playing with, you know, two NHL vets. He just does his thing every night, and it's hard to not like watching a player like Martin Pospisil.
Yeah, this team is interesting. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, you kind of get the vibe from everyone, just from calling in. The expectations are low. I mean, you don't really know what to expect going in, but we're sure to have fun. We're here to hang out. I mean, if we're going to win games, we're going to win games. We're going to make the playoffs. We got people talking about trading assets at the deadline already. We got to pump the brakes. We cannot be doing that. We got a long way to go.
Thanks for having a logical approach, Dylan. Corbin, that's very good.
Corbin was very excited, Dylan.
What's his guy's name again? You guys are in the mornings?
Matt is in the mornings.
I do the mornings with George Russick.
We got Matt Rose and George Russick. Is that what it is?
That's the morning show. Right now, I'm Matt Rose, and he's Logan Gordon.
Okay. Oh, excellent. Okay, so when I put on the post-game show and I fall asleep and I wake up, you guys are talking. Is that what's going on?
No, me and you know what? It's a little complicated, and we all sound the same. Just I'm in the morning. Logan does the afternoons. George Russick, you probably will never hear on the Flames postgame show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, thanks a lot for this evening. You guys are really good.
Appreciate it, Dylan. Have a good night, man. Take care.
Yeah, you as well.
All right, got a couple more calls to get to here. Let's go to Paul on the phone line. Paul is calling in. Hello, Paul.
Hi there.
What's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. I just wanted to call in and say, you know, I really appreciate the resilience of the players on the Calgary Flames.
Yeah. Yeah, some good resilience. Like, for instance, in the opener in Vancouver, they fight back after a really hard first period where they lose one of their kind of veteran players. They go down 4-1. They're just mired in the penalty box. They feel like the world's against them, but they go out, they fight back. They're able to win that game in overtime on Connor Zary's goal. Tonight, and kind of talked about it with Cale McClain as well, the Flames did not play overly well at 5-on-5 in the first 40 minutes. They were decent, but it kind of teetered off a little bit as the kind of period went on. They'd given up, 30-plus shots in the first 40 minutes. And on top of that, finally get a little bit of momentum at the end of the second period, but then they give up that kind of goal from Joel Farabee on the dish from Bobby Brink. Great pass, by the way. But then in the third period, they just kind of...
wonderful pass, wasn't it? Oh,
ridiculous.
Yeah, two really nice passes.
But,
wow.
Yeah, but then they just went back out in the third and kind of put the foot down and said, listen, this is our game. This is our barn. We're not going to lose this one to you guys. You're trying to maybe intimidate us a little bit. We're not going to back down from that either. We got faith in our goalie. We're going to protect our goalie, and that's what they did.
Yeah, and I love it. Two games in, here we are.
It's going to take a lot more efforts like that to get where I think this team wants to be. But at the same time, this is a good start. This is a real good start.
I just think, you know, like the last thing you want to do to a hockey player is tell them that they can't win. And everybody's been telling every player on that team, you know, all offseason, everything, all the noise, all of it, that they're no good. Well, guess what? Each one of these guys, they care, and they're going to go out and they're going to try, and they've done it, and they've showed it through a couple of games, and it's just looked awesome. So I just appreciate them. I've been a fan my whole life, so that's that.
Well, yeah, Paul, I think you're a lot of Flames fans, Paul, that I think sometimes the result – don't get me wrong, wins and losses, points, all that matters, but I think at the end of the night, there's a lot of Flames fans that at the end of the day, as long as you can say you tried your best and the team gave the full effort, I think there's a lot of Flames fans just like yourself that would be okay with that.
Absolutely, man. Like, I see feet moving, right? People trying. Yep. I'm happy.
Happy to hear it, Paul. Thanks for calling in tonight. Have yourself a great night.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You as well. Thanks,
Thank you
gentlemen.
Very much.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, a couple more callers on the line. We'll get these last two calls. We'll read some texts, and then we'll get out of here as 1 o'clock draws near. Let's go to Han on the phone lines, please. Let's welcome Han into the program. Hello, Han.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And
how are
you, sir? How are you doing?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show yourself.
I heard you guys from morning and afternoon. Welcome to the first time you guys are here.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for
much.
Welcoming us. Everybody's been very nice tonight.
Yeah, everyone's been lovely.
Yeah, everyone's
cursed
been
at us.
Cursed at us.
No, like, it's good to hear you from guys here, like this side of it as well. My question is, Hobie, he has a good start. So how many points he can get? I believe he can go to 70.
I think a lot of people would be happy with 70. I think he could do that.
So Kadri go 70 as well.
That's a lot.
I'm just asking question.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot.
140 points. It is a lot, but if they go, they are the older guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah, listen, they've got older guys. They got some guys that can score.
Like 70 points.
Well, you got to turn down your phone there, Han.
You got to turn.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if it is like a. Something. My voice is not coming clear.
No, we got you good. Yep. No, you know what? It's been good. Listen, they got some good players. I think Nazem Kadri is going to have himself a good year. 70 points, certainly within reason. He's done it before, so I think we'll all just kind of wait and see. Especially with those line mates, right? Like I don't think Kuzmenko's really popped a ton, but just wait and see with that guy. He's got a ton of offense in his bag. So, thank you for calling in tonight, Han. Have yourself a good night.
I'll use that thing.
You bet. Cheers. There you go. That was fun. Let's get to a few texts before we end the night. This one is from Sam. Hey, guys, the Flames have scored 12. The Oilers have scored 2. 2-0 and 0-2. How do you like them apples? Which is, I think there's a lot of people who are pretty excited about the fact that the Flames are 2-0. The Oilers are now 0-2. The boys are buzzing. And playing great. Hope it continues. The dig-in from earlier cracked them up. They really appreciate it. They got two of the three goats from 960 on the evening show. Mm.
What was the dig-in thing? Did I miss that?
That was us earlier, I believe, when we were talking about the Oilers and their loss. But it was a quick comment. Don't worry about it. don't dwell. Any luck? The 2-year jet lag is over with. Let's go Flames. That's in response to Jonathan Huberto. 2 years of jet lag. That's a lot of jet lag. This one coming in from Coleman. Russick is too busy and important to be on the post game show. He is very busy and he is very important. Dylan and Revy. What an exciting way to start the year. Not going to hold my breath on number 10, but it's certainly looking good early. Kadri's game will always drive me batty, trying to skate through people and giving the puck away every other play. But he's scoring, so there's that. Zary is going to have a monster season. He's always buzzing and is insanely smart. Hope Pat gets some sleep. Cheers, everyone. Kadri's game is interesting. We did have a text earlier, and I would have to go back and find it, but they commented on there was a 2-on-1, and they would have much rather seen Kadri dish to Coleman on the 2-on-1, but he shot it. I don't know if there's ever been a 2-on-1 that Nazem Kadri has passed on. He is going to shoot that puck almost every single time. That is in his nature, and that is just the way he's built, and that is how he's had the career that he is currently having. So that's probably not going to change. Ryan from Pinocchio is a legend. Get him back on the next show. All right, there you go. That's our show for tonight.
Great job.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for everyone who called in. Thank you very much to everybody who texted in. We really appreciate all of your interactions this evening. And keep it up. Flames are 2-0. We'll see what happens down the road. Thanks for listening to the Flames Talk postgame show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.